Hello and welcome to Run With Horses. It's the Friday Marriage Edition, and today we're looking at nourishing your relationship. So Susan and I will be looking at how you can help your relationship to grow. I suppose as a start, I should say, my background is in horticulture, botany, thinking about plants, so the idea of nourishing to me has a lot to do with the things that you provide a plant or in a greenhouse, the things that you provide your greenhouse plants that help them to grow. So I'm going to use that kind of as an outline today. And we ask the question, what does our marriage need if it's to grow and be all that God wants it to be? So I think it'll be a good discussion.
Great.
So there are three things really quickly that a plant needs to grow. It needs soil. It needs nutrients, water, and it needs sunlight. And that's three different areas we're going to look at and show how that might relate to a marriage. So soil provides a foundation, an anchor for the plant. If you have a plant as it grows and it doesn't have soil, it falls over. If the soil is really shallow, it doesn't hold the nutrients and the plant doesn't do well. Well, a marriage in the same way needs a foundation. And ultimately for us as believers, our foundation has to be a biblical foundation. There's a lot of different aspects to this. Ultimately, I would say that the main one is our personal relationship with God. So I need to be growing spiritually myself. I need to have a vibrant, alive spiritual life. Jesus has to be at the center of my personal life. And as I am learning and growing, I'm learning how to treat my spouse, other people. And then part of that foundation, I would also say, is your church support, this web of relationships that God has given us. What do you think?
Well, there are many ways that you can nourish your own relationship with the Lord. I was thinking about this. Obviously, you know, reading your Bible and building into the time with God that you take yourself every day is vitally important. But there are other things, too, that can help you keep that foundation solid or build it. Thinking even just Christian books, like I know we've gone through How People Change by Timothy Lane and Paul Tripp, and that's been really helpful in recent days. But books like that where somebody has thought through these kinds of issues about Christian life and then how to reply that better, or having deeper fellowship with other people or like Christians, listening to podcasts like these ones, listening to somebody's sermons, or, you know, different things to keep your mind focused on God and what's important in life. Those are all, I think, things that can help have a good foundation.
And I think really the foundation has to be solidly on Christ. You know, if Jesus is really the center, then everything else is in proper perspective. And that's one of the foundational truths that often comes back to hurt us in our marriage. If God is not at the center, if I become at the center, then we're in trouble. If you're at the center, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. If one of our kids is at the center, we're in trouble. If our finances become at the center, we're in trouble. So central to this idea of what has to be foundational in a marriage is the truth that Jesus has to be at the center. He has to be that foundation. If he's not, we're going to struggle with priorities. We're going to struggle with decision making. We're going to struggle with individually with our thought processes, our ability to deal with disappointment and all of those things. So central to this idea of biblical foundation is that Jesus is at the center. And I do think those relationships we have in the church are really important. If Jesus is at the center, we have a special group of people in our life beyond just our family who also have Jesus at the center, who can help us kind of provide a buffer to outside sources, outside storms of life. And, you know, my study was in greenhouse management. One thing that a greenhouse does is offers a plant protection from outside extremes. So you plant a seedling or plant a seed in the greenhouse and it grows up into be a seedling. The greenhouse protects it from wind. If you have hard rain, so it could just drive it into the ground. The greenhouse provides this buffer. And the church, really good church relationships can also provide a buffer. Sometimes we focus on the wrong things, and the church can help us to say, you know, that's not exactly what the Bible's saying, or there's more than one way to see the thing, the trials in your life. And I think that those church relationships really can help us to think better about what's going on in our life. So definitely Jesus at the center, and then the church as a help in that, are all supporting the same thing. If God's at the center and we're studying the Bible and we have this group of believers with us who are helping us to grow, they're helping us to grow. They're helping us to have a vibrant, alive, spiritual life. And then from that foundation, if you have two halves of this marriage that are both doing that, then you have a solid foundation to build a marriage on. So the next thing a plant needs is nutrients and water. And these are resources that the plant needs to produce healthy fruit. What are the things that our marriage needs? Well, one, it needs prayer. From us, we need to be praying, but it's also going back to our view of the church as part of our support. We need the prayers of the church. It's one reason why, as a church, we should be praying for strong marriages in our church. Communication, that's one of the nutrients that our marriage needs. If we don't communicate well, we're really going to struggle in a lot of areas. Even if we're both spiritually growing and alive, if we struggle with communication, we miscommunicate. We miss things, and it just makes it more difficult. So healthy communication, part of that is conflict resolution, conflict management. Understand you're going to disagree, and how do you disagree, and can you do that without fighting and driving wedges in your marriage? So the ability to handle conflict helps your marriage to grow. And then just one of the nutrients that your marriage needs is time together, whether that's an afternoon out for coffee, a walk after supper, or just driving the car, whatever it is. You need that time when there are not kids nagging or other people around distracting, or you're not doing something else, but you're actually considering the other person. So that's a few of the resources that you need. But other things like that, and you should examine your marriage, your life, and who you are. Say, what are the things that my marriage needs that I need to input to help us to have a healthy marriage? The last one that I had was sunlight. You know, a plant needs sunlight. And what does it do? Well, sunlight provides energy. You have to put energy into a system for it to change. For a plant, that comes from the sun, and it provides energy for the plant to work, for it to grow, for it to produce fruit. And I think our marriage is much like that. You don't put a plant in a closet and expect it to grow, because there's no work going to it. Even though it has water, it has nutrients, it has soil, it's not going to grow without light. You have to put that energy in. And for a marriage, that's effort. You know, it's intentional work that we put into the marriage. We're consistently applying time, thought into our marriage. A concentrated effort on communicating well, on praying for each other. All those things take time. Working through our schedules to have time together, it takes intentionality. You don't just sit around and hope it happens. You have to put some effort into it. Those things don't happen by accident.
Yeah, I think the being intentional, that's important. Something that a practical way of doing this maybe is just sharing with your spouse, like, hey, I've been reading this in the Bible lately and God taught me this. Or asking, where are you reading right now? Or what is God teaching you? But being able to share those things can be very helpful. Also, just to ask even just questions like, what's coming up in your life? Or, you know, how can I pray for you this week? Or listening to your spouse, maybe share some of their struggles, and then in the midst of that, help them see, where is God in this? Or, because sometimes when you're focused on the struggle or the trial, it's hard to see that there's an eternal purpose behind this, or God could be doing something, and the other person is not quite as involved maybe in that personal struggle, but they can help you to see the truth, or, you know, the bigger picture. Also, just being able to pray together can be a huge help in, like, giving energy, or as you're saying, something like that.
Yeah, so to recognize that your marriage is not going to stay healthy or be healthy without you putting some effort into it is really, really important. I think a lot of people, they have the... When they're young, when they get married, when they're developing the relationship, they put a lot of time and energy into it. Then they get married, they get busy with work and other things, and they stop putting effort into the relationship. And then they wonder why after 10 years, it's not as good as it used to be. But if you think back to the effort you put into it, you know, as a 25-year-old, as a 30-year-old, versus as a 40-year-old or a 50-year-old, you don't put the same amount of time and effort into it. And if you're not putting the time and effort into it, it's like a garden. You know, you plant your garden, you put a lot of work into it, planting seeds and, you know, making the rows straight, and it looks great right after you plant the seeds. But then if you don't touch it for 6 weeks and you go back, what do you see? A weedy mess. There is no garden anymore. It's just a weedy mess. And our marriage is like that. How do you keep that garden looking like a well-tended garden? Well-tended means something. You know, you spend that regular time, and it's not a ton of time. If you have a small garden, you can spend a little time every day and keep it nice. You can skip some days and spend a little more time on weekends and still keep it nice. So how you divide the time up maybe is not quite as critical, but it has to have that time. And I think a marriage is like that. There are times when you don't have a lot of time every day, but you can every third or fourth day or on the weekend, you can set aside time. Other times of life, you can spend some time every day, but it has to have that time where you're intentionally putting effort into the marriage if it's going to produce fruit.
Thinking about a garden, also part of nourishing it is keeping out predators or things that are going to harm it. And, you know, there are ways we can do that for our marriage as well, like some either just being too busy or having conflicting stuff going on, or people in your life that could be trampling, you know, one or the other of you, something like that.
Yeah, protecting your schedule is a big part of that, making sure you have that time. So a marriage is really, as we think about it and compare it to like your garden or your greenhouse, it is very similar. You know, you do have the need for a good foundation. You need some kind of substrate, something that holds us together that we can build on. And ultimately, that's God. And that comes through His Word, and it's supported by the church and the Holy Spirit. So to have a vibrant spiritual life really is critical. To provide ongoing resources, you know, it's not enough when you plant a garden to put fertilizer down the first week, and then you never put it down anymore. Many plants require extra fertilizer as they grow. They get to a different point in their growth. They're going, putting out leaves and vines. They need more fertilizer. They're putting out fruit. They need more fertilizer. Our marriage, as we grow together, as we go through time, it requires putting these things in to continue to learn. That's part of it. Learn about your personality and your weaknesses, and your wife's personality and their weaknesses, and how you can encourage and help each other to grow in your ability to communicate effectively and all those things. And then on top of all that is the effort that goes in to tend the garden, to tend your marriage, to consider it worth the effort. And I know sometimes, you know, we planted a little garden and it gets started. You go, oh, this is kind of fun. Then it gets kind of weedy. You go, it's not fun anymore. And then if you let it go too far, then you go, well, it's just not worth it. I mean,
it's impossible.
It's not going to produce any fruit. And our marriage can be like that. If you let it go, it's really hard to clean it up again. It's much easier to put the effort in consistently to just maintain a healthy relationship as you go.
And it's good to remember, you know, when you plant a garden or have plants, I mean, you have a goal in mind that eventually you're going to have some fruit, something to show for it. And I think over time in a marriage, when you are keeping on nourishing each other and your own relationship with God, you will see fruit and you will have a harvest.
Yeah, it is interesting how, you know, you get married in the beginning, you don't really know your spouse that well, but you commit together. And then if you stick it out and you keep putting the effort in, you have somebody that knows you better than anybody else and someone that you know better than anybody else. And you have someone that can comfort you in the way that you need to be comforted and that is there for you, and that you have that trust. That's just something that doesn't come automatically. You have to work on that. But ultimately, we need to understand that it's worth it. It is part of what God has given us to give us a picture of what our ultimate relationship with Him will be like.